monster from Mars, his world, and the vile menagerie of villains he must confront.
There was a roughly 5-year gap between my abandoning the old web TV site, Martian Manhunter, the Rock of the JLA, and my starting the daily blog, The Idle Hand of Diabolu. During that gap, the Martian Manhunter celebrated his 50th anniversary in comics, which went mostly unheralded. In fact, it was around that time that he was drummed out of the Justice League. And then there was a not particularly warmly received miniseries that radically altered the character. I bounced around a bit online to see if anybody had done anything significant for John Jones's half-century mark. Couldn't find anything. The one place I did strike a bit of a gold mine at, though, was the Comic-Con International San Diego Souvenir Book for the year 2005. This book featured pages and pages of fan art, which I've doled out on the blog over the span of several months. It helped to distract from the fact that I wasn't contributing anything much myself to the blog. There's also an article titled Fear and Loathing on Mars, The Long and Strange Trip of John Jones, Manhunter from Mars by Mark Lucas. Since I've tended to treat this podcast as an extension of the blog, and I put in about 6, almost 7 years, worth of daily posts on the blog, I haven't been the best on the podcast about reviewing the long history of John Jones. We're now approaching his 60th anniversary, and hopefully, as long as Mark Lucas doesn't have any issue with the copyrights to his article, I'd actually like to just read it to you here on the podcast. They say it's not easy being green. For John Jones, they were right. As one of comics' longest-running characters, the Martian Manhunter has a history as diverse as Batman, as strange as Superman, and as rich in mythology as Wonder Woman, and yet most people, when asked, would say, who? What I found most intriguing about this 50-year-old character is that most individuals aware of pop culture are somewhat familiar with the Green Guy from the Justice League. Even though they cannot recall his name or powers, his image itself is what has stuck in several generations' minds. Currently seeing his popularity peaking thanks to the Cartoon Network's excellent Justice League series, John Jones is only beginning to receive the recognition long promised. What is striking when looking back is the long and strange trip to this point the character has taken. It's a trip not even the late Hunter S. Thompson could have chronicled. Flashback to the 1950s. In the beginning of the Cold War era, America was paranoid of threats from beyond. There was fear of the Soviets and communism. There was fear of aliens from Mars. And there was fear due to racial strife within our own nation. With superheroes more or less banished, what was popular on the comic racks were science fiction, crime, and horror comics. The first golden age of superheroes had died out, and publishers were looking for the next big thing. It was still some time before National Periodicals and Julius Schwartz would revive classic franchises like The Flash and Green Lantern for a new Silver Age era. However, it was not for lack of trying. In 1955, the pages of Detective Comics featured tales of Batman and Robin, with short backup stories featuring a variety of tales. In issue number 255, dated November 1955, writer Joe Samuelson and artist Joe Serta introduced a new ongoing feature. Combining several genres, they attempted to merge the popular crime fiction with science fiction, while throwing in superheroics. Thus was born John Jones, the Manhunter from Mars, a character accidentally teleported to Earth by Professor Mark Erdell. Erdell, surprised by John's appearance, dies of a heart attack. The Martian now finds himself trapped on Earth. Using his Martian shape-shifting abilities, the green alien takes on human appearance and disguises himself as John Jones and becomes a police detective, appropriate for Detective Comics. With Jones solving crimes by day while serving as a superhero on the side, these early tales read as classic 1950s science fiction with elements of crime thrown in. In addition to his shape-changing skills, the Martian could turn invisible, had super strength, and had a superior intellect. Initially, he used these skills to hide in plain sight while collaring common criminals. This seems culturally significant given the times and the Red Scares that the U.S. experienced. McCarthyism was at its peak, and the idea of one's neighbor being an undercover communist or spy was prevalent in this climate of fear. The series ran in Detective Comics as a crime serial through number 273, November 1959, when John's powers evolved, losing his powers while invisible. He revealed his identity to the world and became a protector of mankind. In addition, he formally became known as the Martian Manhunter. As the 1960s began, his exploits took a more adventuresome twist. As the popularity of superheroes increased, so did John's superheroic adventures. The character was well-suited for the shift, though this annulled much of the unique nature of the character. Simultaneously, DC Comics was intent on creating a team of superheroes. The problem was that they did not have that many key figures. The Martian Manhunter was slotted into this group, the Justice League, most likely to increase sales of Detective Comics. This increased John's visibility and, for a time, sales on Detective Comics. The Justice League of America soon was awarded their own title, with John figuring more prominently in the series' adventure and fantasy tales. By 1964, DC was in a race with Marvel Comics to take a lead in the superhero market. Seeking to expand its profile, and likely in reaction to Marvel's success with the Mr. Fantastic character, DC introduced the Elongated Man as a backup in Detective Comics number 153, June 1964. The Manhunter was transferred as the lead feature in House of Mystery. John had finally achieved a leading role. However, in overestimating the character's popularity, or perhaps messing with it, the stories took on an element of silliness, combining bad science fiction with a bizarre spy element. The Manhunter was saddled with a midget sidekick named Zook, who was sent in for comic relief. John fought mad scientists and Vulture, clearly a James Bond spy organization ripoff. Within a year, John was replaced by Dial H for Hero in House of Mystery, only occasionally serving in backup tales. Still appearing in the Justice League of America as a regular member, it was not until 1969 that John was able to return to Mars, discovering that all life had been wiped out. He was the last of his kind. John left the JLA to find his people and discover what had happened to them. This appeared the end of the story of the Martian Manhunter. John returned to the JLA a few years later and continued on as a steady, though background, character for years to come. His return showed him quieter, more pensive, with great strength and telepathic powers. He appeared as a member of this team, and as in a senior mentor role in the group's last days. It was not until 1986 that the character once again gained a level of prominence. After DC rebooted its comics line after Crisis on Infinite Earths, everything was new again, including the Justice League. At the time, DC revived this flagship title as an adventure humor comic by J.M. DeMatteis and Keith Giffen. John appeared prominently in this series as the wizened, powerful senior member. For the first time, his character was fleshed out with unique personal traits added, most famously his addiction to Oreos. The series was a hoot, and John grounded the book, often playing the straight man. When DC once again rebooted the Justice League, this time by Grant Morrison as a collection of the greatest heroes fighting the greatest threats, John proved valuable as a mainstay. Though he was not a leading man, few were with a group this large. It was not until the late 90s that he finally, was awarded his own ongoing series. A brief, forgettable miniseries did appear in the early 1990s. Coming off the hugely successful Spectre series, writer John Ostrander attempted to flesh out this character and give him his own identity. Ostrander also delved into the Martian part of his nature, exploring what it really meant to be a man in a strange land, the history of Martian culture, and battles with Martian foes. The series lasted 3 years, though died with low sales and an inbred audience. The character never really soared on his own, but once again, and took refuge as a quality supporting member of the Justice League, which he never left. Which brings us to today. John has finally begun to capture multimedia attention. As a member of the Justice League and Cartoon Network's animated series, he has proven a popular cast member. Carl Emily's voice work has nicely captured his nature. The character also has action figures and statues made for popular consumption. Though it's only taken him 50 years, John Jones has emerged through this long and strange trip as a survivor, a leader, and one of the archetypal characters in the DC Universe. On this, his 50th anniversary, one may be amazed by his staying power. While different characters have held the title of The Flash, Green Lantern, and even Batman, there has only been one Martian Manhunter. Looking back, it may truly be his arrival that signaled the dawn of the Silver Age of comics and the beginning of the interest in superheroes that we now see. Happy birthday, John. Hope you finally achieve the recognition in the next 50 years that has been waiting for you during the first 50. Mark Lucas is a freelance writer and editor residing in Los Angeles. There are a few factual inaccuracies in this article and a number of opinions that I disagree with, some very strongly, in particular the part about the forgettable American Secrets, which I feel is a hidden masterpiece. But I really appreciate Mark Lucas taking the time to write this piece, the acknowledged Manhunter, in a way that virtually nobody else did at the time. And I hope he ain't mad that I read it on the internet.
Trekker Talk, a fan podcast devoted to the adventures of 23rd century bounty hunter Mercy St. Clair from the pages of Trekker Comics by creator, writer, and artist Ron Randall. I'm Darren.
And I'm Ruth. We'll be discussing the stories, characters, and art in this excellent retro sci-fi adventure series, as well as having side conversations about other areas of fandom.
We hope you'll join us as we travel from the dangerous back streets of New Gallif to the depths of outer space and everywhere in between.
Trekker Talk is available at podbean.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
The Comic-Con International 2005 program book is pretty nifty, too. It's got a Will Eisner cover. The Spirit celebrated his anniversary that year. Crypto also celebrated his 50th birthday in the 2005 San Diego book. And one of the fan artists, Derek O'Leary, included a canine version of the Martian Manhunter as part of the Justice Pack Yonan Vasquez's Johnny the Homicidal Maniac was celebrating his 10th anniversary in 2005 and is featured in one of the pieces teamed up with John Jones, drawn by Duncan Crawford. There are a number of such anniversaries highlighted in the SDCC convention book, but I'd say these two in Crypto were the most legit. Little Archie was just the proto-Muppet Babies of Riverdale, but got 4 pages of art and articles. The new Teen Titans turned 25, meaning they were neither new nor teen, and were only a revamped lineup of a property that debuted in 1964. Adding to the distance of devoting 16 pages of art to a questionable landmark was the tendency to showcase designs from the Teen Titans cartoon, then only a couple of years old. A decade of David Latham's Stray Bullets earned 2 pages. Johnny the Homicidal Maniac got a 2-page article and 13 pages of fan art. While Spirit turned 65, his 19-page section was centered on the passing of his creator, Will Eisner. John Jones would have made for a good team-up partner in theory, but probably not in the diminished spirit of the proceedings.
Hi, my name is Teresa.
And my name is Rebecca.
Do you like Supergirl?
We do too.
And we're super excited to bring you a fan podcast devoted to the upcoming Supergirl TV series on CBS from Greg Berlanti and Ali Adler, starring Melissa Benoist as the Girl of Steel.
Check in with us every week for news and discussion about the last daughter of Krypton.
Supergirl Radio.
Your source for all things Supergirl.
One article I did find online that was a bit late for the 50th anniversary celebration was by J. Caleb Mazzucato, a frequent contributor to a variety of comic book websites, who also has the blog Every Day is Like Wednesday. And he wrote a post called Actually Essential Storylines Martian Manhunter. This is in reference to the 52 comic book series, which featured 2-page origin stories for a variety of heroes, including John Jones. And at the end of the stories, they would have a blurb called Essential Storylines, where they would make recommendations. These were almost always junk because DC was always pushing whatever they had in trade paperback available. And in 2005, they had substantial gaps in what they were keeping in print. I'm surprised, though, because the first two suggestions were JLA Year One, which is an excellent miniseries, definitely a very good Martian Manhunter story. And then a real surprise was Justice League of America number 144, which is one of my favorite Justice League stories. It's the one where it's revealed that Commander Blanks, the most important Martian Manhunter foe of the early Bronze Age, late Silver Age, depending on how you categorize him, how he helped to inspire the formation of the team. A ton of material relevant to Martian Manhunter's portrayal from the 90s onward began with that story, but John Jones himself isn't in it terribly much. But Mazzucato took issue with both of the stories since they weren't in continuity at that time, not that that's terribly relevant anymore. DC's other two suggestions were formerly known as the Justice League and Countdown to Infinite Crisis. Both of those were terrible suggestions if you're looking to read a Martian Manhunter story, since he makes brief cameo appearances in those tales. As alternatives, Caleb offered the Showcase Presents Justice League of America volumes that featured John Jones in some of his earliest and most widely read stories. He recommended Justice League A New Beginning, the Keith Giffen, J.M. DeMatteis, Kevin Maguire run of Justice League International, which I think has now been completely collected, or very near to. Mazzucato suggested JLA New World Order, adding that Morrison's entire run, 6 volumes from New World Order to World War III, plus JLA Earth 2 and DC 1 Million, is required reading, of course. But the most John-centric storyline is probably the first one, although his most badass moment would come in his effortless takedown of Ultraman in Earth 2. Morrison's run was followed by a short one by Mark Waid, who played with John's human alter ego in JLA Divided We Fall, and returned the White Martians in JLA Terror Incognita. And then Joe Kelly, who gave John a love interest, leave of absence, and star turn as a villain in JLA Trial by Fire, in which we learn why Martians are better off not conquering their fear of fire, and how deadly a foe John could be. Mazzucato was also a major proponent of the Ostrander and Mandrake series. He wrote, "Taken as a whole, John Ostrander and Tom Mandrake's Martian Manhunter is probably the essential Martian Manhunter series. Spinning out of Morrison, Porter, and Dell's JLA at the height of its popularity, the former The Spectre team would tell John's tale almost as consummately as they did Old Moonfaces, though the series seemed to struggle to find a status quo and was canceled after 36 issues and 2 annuals, plus a number 0 issue and a number 1 million issue. Still, Ostrander made great use of the wide canvas of the DCU and accentuated that which made John unique, synthesizing various takes on and incarnations of the character. He gave Mars a language, a religion, a history, and a culture, and had John live it. He made perfect sense of the on-again, off-again Martian vulnerability to fire. He made some stumbling attempts at giving John a unique rogues gallery, refashioning Darkseid and Kanto as recurring villains. He introduced us to the post-crisis Zook. He established John as the most popular superhero of the Southern Hemisphere and Third World. He gave John multiple secret identities through which he could better explore humanity, and he even got John laid. So far, there are two volumes of that series collected in trade paperback fairly recently, too, under the titles Son of Mars and Rings of Saturn. I personally am not that big a fan of that run and would take issue with some of the premises Mazzucato puts forth as far as things that Ostrander did, when in fact a lot of that was stuff that he was playing with that other writers had originated, and there was a lot of things that I was very much discontent with in that series, including trying to repurpose the New Gods as Martian Manhunter villains. But it's been noted, and will be noted again shortly, your mileage may vary. Mazzucato also offers Darwin Cook's series The New Frontier, which posits a world where the characters introduced in DC's Silver Age starred in an adventure that actually occurred in the 1950s and 1960s is hands down one of the best Martian Manhunter stories of them all, just as it's one of the best Hal Jordan stories. Shining on Earth, John learns about our culture via the television, then utilizes his shape-changing abilities to become a private eye, fighting crime and seeking bizarre mysteries in Gotham City. Eventually, he's taken by the U.S. government and strikes up a friendship with King Faraday. Cook manages to use all three of John's looks effectively, and his take on the character's origin, design, and characterization should be mandatory reading for anyone hoping to write the character in the future. J. Caleb Mazzucato's entire article is quite lengthy and involved, and has some great opinions. There'll be a link on the blog. Also, though, the blog post of Mazzucato's had a link to the Martian Manhunter origin story from 52, which is no longer available on the DC site, but it did get me to look at the site, where they have a subsection of DC characters celebrating their 75th anniversaries. The Flash, Shazam, the Joker, Hawkman, Lex Luthor, Catwoman, Robin, and Green Lantern. Most of them got specific stylized 75 logos for their anniversaries. If I recall correctly, they went a little cheap on Catwoman, Lex Luthor, and Hawkman. Having a standard 75th anniversary logo where they would just stick an old picture of the characters in its midst. Unsurprisingly, there is no 60th anniversary logo for Martian Manhunter. If you go to his official page at DC Comics, which is a fairly new invention, I've looked in the past where they had no listing for Martian Manhunter. Most of DC characters have 2 to 3 pictures in their gallery. Martian Manhunter only has one, and again, no cool 60th anniversary logo. But hey, I made one, DC Comics. If you want to put it on your site, have at. I'm using your artwork anyway.
Your ego betrays you. Will you not listen to reason? This won't end well for you.
We received retweets and favorites from Ange, Count Druncula, Danilo Santiago, Darren and Ruth Sutherland, Dr. G, Nerdologist, Eternal Rage, Firestorm Fan, Jamie Carr, Cord Industries, Luke Dobb, Mark Sweeney, Martin Gray, Odyssey Unleashed Podcast, Randy Caldwell, Randy Micah Smith, Siskoid, Sin, Tom Zoller, bit of self-interest there since he was retweeting a commission that I got from him, of King Zeus. You can check that out on the blog. Top 5 Road Crew, and Trekker Talk. We also received retweets from Between the Pages, Flotospan, Guano Man, Keith G. Baker, and Ryan C. at Trash Film Guru, as well as favorites from the Edmore 3 at Indie Comics Fan, at Marvel Bronze Age, and at Teal Productions, as well as Inigo Montoya, Fantastiverse, Jacob Edwards, Carl Brusades, and Mythmaking, etc. Count Druncula tweeted out a picture of the first and only appearance of Iwangus the Creature King in House of Mystery, writing, "Missed your talk before, but I picked up this very issue at a thrift store 2 years ago." Meanwhile, Oofta at Fryhole sent us his custom Martian Manhunter action figure, which you can see a picture of on the blog. Then Walker at Monsura let us know that he was catching up with the Idlehead of Diablo podcast. Odyssey Unleashed podcast said, "You're a podcasting machine, Frank." Luke Dobb added, "Listening to Frank talk about Martian Manhunter is an easy thing to like." Darren and Ruth Sutherland referenced the podcast on their Facebook page. I just have to warn people, too. I do have a Facebook profile. I set it up many years ago to get some pictures of Zatanna cosplay that somebody had sent me. I despise Facebook. I never log on. It is the single worst way to get into contact with me. And the only reason why I'm even aware of this message is because I received it in an email that came from Facebook, so at least he provided that. Anyhow, the couple write, and by the way, Darren Ruth Sutherland run the Trekker Talk podcast. Check that one out. "We enjoyed your recent episode covering the new Martian Manhunter issue 2. Your enthusiasm for the improved story was evident, but we were sorry to hear about the drop in sales. Hopefully sales will stabilize if the book continues to be good. Looking forward to the next episode." I'll say, too, I've read some online reviews, and it seems like critics, at least, are embracing this title and have been pimping it out there, so maybe that'll help with the sales. Scott Peterson sent me an email letting me know, "Hey, love your blog, and you probably are already aware already, but if not, check out the new Kickstarter project from Ostrander and Mandrake. Also, Martian Manhunter original art by Tom Mandrake still available. Best, Scott." And their Kickstarter project is called Kross Hallowed Ground. Vampire hunter Kross fights a battle at night as fearful and horrific as the battles fought during the day at the Battle of Gettysburg. I said battle in that sentence almost many times as I said podcasting in a couple previous sentences. I can let you know, too, that Kross Hallowed Ground was fully funded on Kickstarter with some despair, if I recall correctly. So you can look forward to that title coming out. Finally, Guano Man, also on Facebook, under the title Ultron Is My Elvis, wrote the following. This month is the 60th anniversary of the Martian Manhunter. We start by saluting Chief Archivist Diablo Frank. You'd better believe that I will not let this incredibly significant milestone go uncelebrated. Prepare yourselves for a veritable onslaught of sexy pics of a large green man. Let's start with a plug for the undisputed number one source for Alien Atlas fans, the Idlehead of Diablo blog and podcast. The site is run by Diablo Frank, who may also be familiar to discerning podcast listeners as the walking comic history encyclopedia and progressive voice of the Fantastic The Marvel Superheroes podcast and Rolled Spine podcasts. Frank's knowledge and understanding of Martian lore, continuity, and history is astounding, terrifying even. While he and I differ somewhat in terms of our appreciation of modern interpretation of the character, he doesn't like the Ostrander series, so he's clearly a wrong'un. His efforts and ability to chronicle and dissect the Big Green Guy's doings are unparalleled. All hail Frank, honorary son of Mars. And Guano Man has continued to put out posts on his Facebook page, so please check that out. Again, it's Ultron Is My Elvis. And I'll keep retweeting those on our own Twitter feed. Podcast listeners should feel free to leave a comment on one of our blogs, either the Umbrella Rolled Spine Podcasts or the specific Idlehead of Diablo blog. Both are available quite easily through Google searches. You can also shoot me a tweet at Commander Blanks. That's B-L-A-N-X. Thank you for listening.